Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to episode 12 of Season 2 of Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes, part of the National Podcast Post-Month Challenge. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. It has been a lot of fun for me to go back into my own history in writing and remembering all these different projects that were picked up, abandoned, and either completed and then abandoned or reconfigured into something else. There's a whole lot of different twists and turns that the stories I've put together have made. One in particular had a really interesting history, and that was a trilogy I came up with just as I was finishing up my freshman year in college called Phoenix Rising. I had talked about this before in a previous episode, but I was inspired by the one-act play Marisol by Jose Rivera. It was a big concept about the apocalypse, but done in a very intimate fashion. It showed one person, Marisol, this young Puerto Rican girl, who was tasked with preventing the apocalypse. And that's a hell of a challenge for anyone to have in front of them, let alone a younger woman. Everything was very simple in its execution. It was all done in a black box theater. There were very few props, and it was really just talking about all these different things that were happening outside, out of view. It wound up really making good use of the space that would later come to mind years later when I would hear about the interview that Robert Rodriguez once had, where he said when he was making El Mariachi that the one thing that indie filmmakers don't take into consideration what they have in front of them. He said, I had a bus, I had a guitar case, and I had a turtle. And I knew that all three of those things were going to be in my movie. I obviously didn't hear that interview until several years later, but when I heard it, I was just like, oh, I get exactly what he's talking about. You have to play to your limitations. This particular short script that I came up with called Phoenix Rising was dealing with the latest battle between good and evil. It was done with all these evil forces trying to keep this one person who was being tasked with inheriting this power inside him called the Phoenix that was going to allow him to be a light of inspiration for the rest of humanity in their fight against evil. That was just the basic idea that I had. And it was put together and executed pretty well in that first script. It never was actually performed, but I had a feeling that it did what I needed it to do. And I went ahead and used some different music clips to guide the action, specifically from Hellbound, Christopher Young's scores for Hellraiser and Hellbound Hellraiser 2 really played a part in getting that story just where I needed it to be, to have that same sort of feel, that same sort of gravitas without it costing any additional money for me. Considering the fact that my friends, Anthony Gibson, Jay Atkins, Nathan Perry, were running their own production company called Tatum Pictures, my plan was to pitch the story to them and then we would make these scripts together. And just like what they've done with other features like Bionic Commando, Batman 4, Batman versus Jason, and Target for Elimination, their James Bond movie, it wasn't going to go anywhere outside of the videotapes. So they had no problem using existing music. And that's what I was going to do with this. I was going to use those scores for Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, and Hellraiser. And for the second one I didn't even know really existed until I just happened to hear a score. And that's something that really plays a part in a lot of my writing. It's got to be like a specific piece of music that really gets the juices flowing in a really good way. And that's what happened here with this story that would eventually be Phoenix Rising 2, The Evil That Men Do. The crux of the writing for that one centered around Patrick Doyle's score to Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. For those of you who have not seen Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, a lot of focus is on the other types of Frankenstein adaptations, especially now that Guillermo del Toro's adaptation is out on Netflix now. I have yet to see it, but I've heard great things about it, so I'm looking forward to watching it. I have a lot of fondness for Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. A lot of people disparage it. I really enjoyed it. And I love the epic scope and that over-the-top bombastic element that Kenneth Branagh provided. Patrick Doyle's score went with it like a glove. It's a fabulous score. It is a fantastic score from start to finish. It just gets that energy going, and I love it. I love listening to it, and so much of it inspired so many different scenes that would eventually make their way into this story. My main character, Kyle Flight, he is fully into his role now as the Phoenix. He has his wife, he has his brother, he has another woman who they befriended in the first story, and a couple other people that were there, one of which would wind up being someone who would eventually turn on this whole group. He would become like their main adversary. And that was a lot of fun. That was something that I had a blast doing as well, because that's where a lot of the music from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein came into play. And one of the things that I got to do was write to our budget, which was no budget at all. Still, I wanted to have some big extravagant moments. There's a particular piece of music called The Creation in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein that Patrick Doyle just, he lets it all out. This is the centerpiece of that whole movie because it's the creation of the monster. And it's a real rip-roaring kind of piece that's just got a wonderful tempo. It just keeps going and it's relentless in its action. It gets you pumped up, gets you ready to plow forth. This is the piece of music that I wanted to use for the moment where they took the character that had turned on our guys are on Kyle and the rest of his team. He thought it was going to be just a power enhancement, but he was actually going to be possessed by a demon. I have it set through all these different components put together in a very haphazard kind of way. And it was basically just them saying that they use what they have. And so it was meant to look as dime store as possible. So the helmet that was set to go on this character's head, it was a spaghetti strainer with wires attached to it. Ed Wood would have been proud. I used that because I wanted to basically just say that in the hands of these people, they could take these objects that seem so ordinary and can make something extraordinary out of them. And so that was my angle. That was my way of saying, look, we don't have much of a budget or anything to work with. So this is what they're doing and how they're doing it. And the end result wound up being a lot of fun to write. I was really happy with how Phoenix Rising 2 came out, especially as the story went on and I got to push my character Kyle further down into this hole. And then the victorious moment where he was able to finally overcome the guy who would turn on them, and he and this other character who was along for the ride, the two of them wound up teaming up and killing this guy. And then it would end, then it ended in the similar fashion as The Empire Strikes Back. So like it definitely seems like the bad guys have made a lot of headway, but the good guys are able to make one last push forward and break free. Now it's just a matter of finding those characters, Kyle and the other character, to bring them back into the fold and make their final big push. And that's what Phoenix Rising 3 wound up being. The title for that one wound up being called Poison of the Soul. And it was all about the search for this particular glove that when pressed up against someone's chest, basically sucks their soul out. It was known as the Hand of Lucifer. That was what I called it. It was just a basic glove. Like, that's all it was. Overall, that whole setup was a whole lot of fun. The real fun part was picking all this different music to go along with it. I think it was around the tail end of my sophomore year when I was able to complete Phoenix Rising 3, Poison of the Soul. And that wrapped up that trilogy really nicely. I was really proud of the final product, but I had no idea what I was going to do with it. Later on, I would wind up coming up with some ideas to take this three-parter and break it up into a five-parter and put in some additional emphasis on how these characters got to where they were in part one, and then part two wound up being mostly the first story. And then part three, The Evil That Men Do, would go through around the halfway point of what Phoenix Rising 2 eventually was. So now all of a sudden that was part three, The Evil That Men Do. And then you have part four, Poison of the Soul, as the second half of part two, of the original part two. And then part five, which was the original Poison of the Soul, that became Final Flight. That was the story that really wrapped up this whole saga. Overall, I was pleased with it, but I still wound up not doing anything with it. Eventually, it wound up just collecting dust on my desktop. I decided that since time has passed, I don't think I'm going to go forward with this. I don't think I'm going to try to rewrite it or anything and try to do something else with it. I think I'm just going to let this one go. Then I decided later on that I'm not going to delete the files. Maybe there's something else that can be used for it. And boy, was there. And we're going to go into that a little bit more in a future episode. But I hope you've been enjoying these so far. For the next episode, that's when I made that jump back into the world of feature writing. It wound up being a much bigger venture than I imagined. It was not only going to be my first screenplay, it was not only going to be my second feature-length screenplay, if you count the one that I did at the end of my freshman year, as more of an exercise than anything, but it would be my second feature-length and my first action movie. It was a lot of fun to work on, and that's what we'll be getting into more with the next episode. I hope you've been enjoying this, and I look forward to answering some questions as time goes on and I get caught up on this National Podcast Post-Month Challenge venture. Until the next episode, when I go back into the feature-length writing, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to heesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@heesgotit.com.